I think we should resume with our meeting. We have requested for a break for 10 minutes so that you can ascertain who is coming between the... what is happening with both the minister and the deputy minister. Fortunately, without getting an answer, I just see the deputy minister coming in. Welcome, DM. And also, let me apologize for to disrupt you. We were told that you are attending the portfolio committee. But the difficulty that we had as a committee is that we're having this meeting for the first time after the news we saw on the media that the DG was suspended. And we also heard on the news that the DG is back. So we don't want to rely on you. And we also regard this meeting as one of the most important meetings because that is where you account as politicians to Parliament. You can miss other meetings, but not this one and the budget meeting. So we see those two meetings as very important as a committee. And it was inappropriate for us to ask the DG, are you back or out? Why were you suspended? Can you? No, it was inhuman for us. So we thought it would be important that we get somebody to explain to us. We really appreciate that you came here. Well, members, I just checked with the DM whether he's done that, but she's still busy. It is a seminar for the whole day. I'm not going to say much. She will speak herself. Deputy Minister, can I just hand over to you? Just to take us, especially clarify the issue of the DG, so that we know where we stand at the moment. We may not get to details today. Why was he suspended? But just from what you say, take it from there.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to all of the members. Firstly, let me begin with apologizing and explaining why it is that neither the minister nor myself was here today. We were advised last week that there was a clash between the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee meetings today. And the advice that we received was that I would go to the seminar of the Portfolio Committee. DG, together with Minister, would be here. And it was on that understanding that I left this morning and started there at 8:15 this morning, not realizing, of course, that Minister is not going to be here. I'm not quite sure what has delayed the minister, but I'm told that as we speak, she's on a flight to Cape Town. So I'm quite sure that there's an explanation as to, because honestly, that was the arrangement that we were advised about. And yes, I do understand, Chairperson, that it is rather disrespectful for us to appear here, both disrespectful to you, but also disrespectful to the DG, that we expect him to appear here before you after the drama that has unfolded over the last month. And perhaps by way of explanation, I must say to you that I am limited in my abilities to give you explanations because you would remember that the DG was suspended by the former minister, Professor McKidd. At no stage were we, as the deputy ministry, informed that this was going to happen. We were as shocked and surprised as perhaps many of you were when that news broke. In my own estimation, I could see nothing that would necessitate that kind of action. We meet as a collective, Chairperson, you know, in Home Affairs. We meet every 2 weeks in something called the Triple M, which I chair. And that is a minister and management meeting, where all of the top managers who often appear here before the Select Committee, would be present together with certain chief directors as well. And we discuss basically everything and anything to do with the department, both in terms of operations, in terms of policy, in terms of what we're doing, in terms of legislation, whether we're coming here to report to yourselves, etc., etc. However, they were during the former minister's time, we were very often told that the meeting is not going to sit. And I think this is part of the problem. Because when you, as the leadership, are not able to meet, very often you get things at cross purposes. And communication then becomes very, very difficult. And I suspect, I cannot tell you that this was the reason, but I suspect very heavily that that is ultimately what led to the events unfolding. The DG got a letter placing him on provisional suspension when we were together, I believe, DG, at the top 1,000 meeting. It came as a big shock, and this is how I learned that this was happening. I tried to engage the minister on the reasons why, but minister was not available. We were very, very supportive of the DG. We have worked with the DG for many years. I've been deputy minister since November of 2010. DG just assumed his responsibility at that time, just before I came into the department. So I've worked with the DG since Minister Dlamini Zuma, then Minister Pando, Minister Gikaba, and during all of that time, there was never any suggestion of misconduct, of anything that would even remotely suggest a dereliction of duty or anything of that sort. And I had no reason to suspect that this would suddenly arise under the new minister. We had a chat, DG and I, and oftentimes, speculated about what it is and how do we handle it. We tried to, as I say, intervene. I tried to intervene at the point that the DG received his initial letter of provisional suspension, but could never get an audience with him. We are very, very pleased that the courts have ruled in the way that they ruled, overturning the DG's suspension, because I do think, from my perspective, that they applied their minds in a manner that dispensed justice in this case. We are also very, very pleased that our new minister, Minister Lordlaw, has welcomed DG back officially, even though she was on leave at that stage. You would have seen the statement welcoming the DG back. So I don't think that there was much support at that level for the DG suspension to begin with. And whatever the reasons are that gave rise to it, it seems to me that the only person who would be able to respond to that in some detail, beyond what I'm telling you, would be the former minister, Minister Mkhize. But because ultimately the minister kept on counsel on the issue. What those reasons were, etc., we never discussed as minister and deputy minister. So this is basically the scenario. I am very pleased that the DG is back. I'm sure the team is very relieved as well, because we look to him for the leadership that he has given us over many, many years. And let me just say that in no organization are you even, well, you know more than we do, Chair, that no group of people will always agree on everything. There's no two people who will agree on everything. But there's a certain decorum when you work with each other, even in at the level of committees of this nature where you are multi-party committees. There are certain things that you would just abide, not because you are of the same political house or the same ideology. There are certain things that you have to just work with people on, whether you agree or disagree. And the best that can happen is you can place your own view on the table and try and defend it, and then ultimately the decision has to be made. And this is how we've always done it at Home Affairs, and this is the reason we have triple M's every 2 weeks, so that everybody's view can be canvassed, and then ultimately decisions are made collectively. And we've always found that this is the best way to run a department as complicated as Home Affairs can be. And so that, for me, is what has been restored with the DG's return to the department. As you know, we have, and DG will report an unqualified audit, which shows that is a recipe for success, is where you take decisions collectively, where everybody's views are canvassed, and where everybody has a role to play in terms of implementation. So I hope that I've given you some context, Chairperson, and I'm sorry that I can't give you more information with regard to this matter, because honestly, I just don't have it.
Thank you very much, DDM. I think that suffices. Members, anything you want to say? We've got the explanation. The DG is back, and he has been welcomed by both the Deputy Minister as well as the Minister. He is the DG of the department now. She is indicating that if the any further details that we want to know as a committee, those could only be done by the former minister of the department. It's up to the committee whether we want to pursue this or not, but we should be asking ourselves, what value does it add? I tried to, when she was still there, to get the briefing, not to interfere, DM, just want to indicate, not to interfere on the affairs of the department, but as an accounting officer, at least give us an indication. There are these challenges that we have in the department which may lead to the suspension of the DG. It prepares you as a committee. From where we are sitting as a committee, this department has been one of the departments that is doing well. You know, my issue was your audit outcomes before, which we have dealt with now. We've been considering this department, especially the DG, one of the departments. DG, don't want to say one of the best, but one of the DGs that you can say you can rely on. You know your story. You don't depend on the people below you to give you information. If you are given a platform to present, you present throughout as if you are part of the operations. You don't get that often in most departments. They will always rely to people below them because they don't have details of the department, but it's different with the DG. It was a shock to us because we were not prepared to expect such. Honourable members, I had Honourable Mamporo's hand. Those are the two I have.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, DM. Chairperson, I don't have much to say. The explanation that we got from the DM, it cancelled it because we also tried to get something from the minister. We couldn't get anything. There's nothing further that we can expect from the Deputy Minister. We feel very much grateful that we're coming and so came up because we're very much worried about the suspension of the DG because, truly speaking, we are very proud of him. He's taking care of the department. We come across him whatever time. he is just there for the department. So we're worried to see how and when are we going to get this kind of a person. How long will it take for this person to understand the department and the manager is able to account from top information until the last information, which we appreciate the
Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Welcome, Deputy Minister. Let me welcome the briefing from the Deputy Minister, Honourable Chairperson. Our worry, Chairperson, was we can't have an accounting officer which was suspended then come to a committee without any explanation. So that is why we were so worried about the non-availability of the minister and the deputy minister to explain to us what happened to the DG on the suspension. That is why we are so pleased. As a person, I take it as if you are undermining the committee. Once there is no explanation to us, I thought, no, the political head of the department is undermining us. That was my thinking. But I'm happy now you have come and you have explained to us. Thank you very much, Honourable.
Thanks a lot, DG. You're welcome. We did not even know that you left until we had it on the media. But to say you are welcome, we are very much proud of you. Must say the committee, very humble person. I must say. I don't want to say in your memorial service that you were humble. No, that was on a lighter note. Mm. You are a very humble person, accessible. You don't get that often. And we are hoping that we worried when the minister, Minister Kigaba left, but we're sure that the DG is there. There will be continuity on what is happening in the department. We are welcome and we're hoping that you continue adding value to the department. I agree with you, Deputy Minister. Not everyone will agree with you, especially when you're doing right things in the administration. If they don't complain about you, it means you're not doing right things. When they say the DG is not good, the DG is strict and not well, then you know he's doing the right thing. We really appreciate that. Honourable members, I don't know, Honourable Deputy Minister, whether you want to officially leave the DG to continue with the presentation, so that we excuse you, we took you out of a meeting, which is a disrespect. Also from our side, but we had no option but to do that.
Thank you. If you don't mind, I've left the portfolio committee seminar, and I would like to go back because the department is expected to respond to the presenters. So with your permission, Chair, I will leave the DG in your capable hands to proceed with the report.
Thank you very much. DG, I don't know whether we're eating on your time or whose time did we waste so much. Can I give you 30 minutes to do a presentation? Okay, over to you.
Thanks, Chair, and let's get to the business of the day. Chair, we are here to present the annual report for 2017. Which is a culmination of the annual performance plan which we presented to the committee. So, Chair, what we'll be dealing with is those items which we did not achieve, because the ones that we have achieved, there's no point to repeat them. That's why I think that 30 minutes we can be able to do it. So, Chair, the issues of mission vision, they are known, and then the issue of how, as a department, we contribute into the 14 outcomes that we deal with, number 3, number 4, number 13, and 14. It was in our APP. And then, what are the DHA's outcomes and strategic objectives? We've got 3 outcomes. We presented that during the strategic plan. And then, Chair, we tried to say what are the main of those strategic priorities which are linked to the MTSF 2014 to 2019, which is the term of this administration. Was main one, establishment of the Integrated Border Management Authority. We'll come back to it. Developing an overarching strategy and sub-strategies to defend, protect, secure, and ensure well-managed borders, which is a comment which was already made by the WID. Ensuring that registration at birth is the only entry point for South African citizens to the new national identity system, and the national identity system designed and operational, ensuring that systems are in place to enable the capturing of biometric data of all travelers who enter or exit South Africa legally, immigration policy developed and approved by cabinet. That's why DBM now is in that meetings about our immigration policy. Reducing the time required for importing critical skills needed for the economy and improving feedback opportunities for citizens and other service users for the establishment of a DHA contact center. So those are main issues which are looking at in the current administration. So every year again we're giving what we are doing up to, so that by 2018-19 financial year all those things are complete. So in terms of the overview of organizational performance, so we are coming from difficult times, but at least as from 14-15 we're able now to get 70% of what was the target, and then we improved in the 15-16 to 81%. In the current year, it was 84%, so there was 16% which was not achieved. So what I'm saying, I'm going to be dealing with that 16%, not the 84%. But it's important to check with the committee. These two slides here were not there because I came back and added them. Just to say why did we achieve this is only on the presentation. We want those three, four slides coming. We are saying the main reason why we're able to improve is that we improve governance, planning and implementation and monitoring practices. We started to have a cascading of DHA strategy throughout the organization. Because if you plan from top to bottom and from bottom up, it does help. And then planning was focused on those critical priorities which will ensure maximum impact. Not do everything, but we just try and focus for a time. We develop a clear planning and monitoring and evaluation guidelines, tools and capacity building in this regard. The important one is that improved governance practices such as the formation of the key performance indicator panel, so that once we finish to come up with the targets, we want to go and sit and say what will show us that we have achieved this. And to do that, we have now this indicator description sheet, compliance with scripts such as SMART-F. But the normal one is the SMART, that your target must be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time mass. But we have picked up that if your targets are not evidence-based, you must be able to show us and understand that if we have done this, what would be the evidence that we have done it? And then also...
Okay, and I remember, he indicated that it's not going to be part of your presentation. We received this night before he came back. When he came back, he asked it.
Just this four. I said about three or four. So if we can look there, then we'll get it. That is only those. There are very few which I added. Then we said now one of the major issues was that these things must be funded, because once they are funded, then they make sure that these things will be delivered. And increasing the realization of the importance of integrated planning. What integrated planning means is that we've got different units in the department. For instance, civics and immigration are dependent on IT to deliver their things. So even if their planning is not integrated, the other one's going to say, we're going to do this, another one's going to do this, but this other unit doesn't have that capacity, and then you end up not achieving those. And the issue of a one-on-one feedback, consultation sessions with branches on performance information, bottom-up approach to planning, and making sure that once we agree on things, Chair, people must achieve them. If they don't, there must be consequences, because you can't come to Parliament and say we'll do this, and then after that those things, they do not happen. And then intensified monitoring of progress in achieving the targets. Then as well as improved internal controls around management practices. So we've been assisted a lot by our internal audit, starting to be effective. Because what we do is that during the quarter, before we go to the quarterly review, branches submit to internal audit and say, this is what we have achieved. Once they said that, by the time we're sitting, they are not depending in a branch, because branch was to tell us what is the music in our ears. And then Auditor General comes and audits us during the year. We were saying, hey, we're achieving it 80%. Once Auditor General audits that, then it's 50%. I say, why? It's because that was so. By getting that, it made us to be able now to do that. And then, in terms of the audit, Chair, as you indicated, in 2010-11, we managed to get an unqualified audit report for the first time in Home Affairs. However, systematic issues were still there, in particular, our management of the foreign revenue. That's what has been holding us in all these years. So now in this 2014, 15 and 15, 16, we're still sitting on a qualification. Now this year, we have got again another unqualified audit report, but in a better position now, because we have tried to resolve the issues. You'll recall one of the decisions where we was taken working with the directed by Scopa into that. That what can we do that DECO plays a role in this revenue which is collected abroad? Because it's collected by them, we don't have staff there. Then get the agreement was that DECO now collects the revenue, deposit it in the revenue fund, and then of course that documentation now is no longer coming to us. But still, we've got a responsibility that if there is a mistake made by DECO, it will come to our books. But it's better, little bit better managed than when these documents have to move from the mission to DECO headquarters and come to us, and getting lost and not recorded properly. But now, the Portfolio Committee on International Relations is working on a bill, a foreign service bill, where now DECO will be coming with a law of how to deal with this. So as Home Affairs, we have submitted our input there, that DECO must collect the revenue, deposit it in the revenue fund, and be reported in their books. Because remember, we don't utilize revenue based on what we have collected. We still collect, put it in the revenue fund, and we request a budget in the normal way. So there's no benefit of saying if we collect, then it gives us anything better. Because even the self-financing we have, it still goes through the process of treasure. So, Chair, we are committing ourselves that 17-18, because an unqualified has still got issues, which now we'll just touch on those. But in 2017-18, we are really projecting that we'll have a clean audit in the following, but now this year is an unqualified. But, Chair, we said, what helped us, yes, to do that? The first thing which we did, we introduced a monthly checklist. So in the department, each head of the office has got a monthly checklist to say, I've checked my assets, I've checked my leave days, I've checked this and checked this. So yesterday in our ESCO, we're saying now we need to a little bit again improve now that checklist, because that one which we had was just to take us up to an unqualified. Now if you want a clean, you need to add other things now to be more clean. And then we had this top 1,000 meeting, as the CMO said, that's a meeting which we had. In this meeting, we tried twice in a year to get all heads of offices across the country in one room and be able to say, these are the things which you want, these are your responsibilities, and all that. So by the time we deal with issues of consequence management, nothing say, I did not know, I do not. So at least people need them to understand that. Then we look really at every meeting, as DM said, we've got triple M's and all that. what has come out of Auditor General and our internal audit, we make sure that we address those issues and we do communicate our relevant policies and procedures. And SAFO will come back on this matter of payments within 30 days. It's still a struggle, but we've got a report which shows that this office, but we're doing now at this level, at a provincial level, but we do get the details after the office level so that we will be able to meet this target, but we will come back to that one. And we really reporting to Minister, TPM is where the Minister, Deputy Minister, myself and DTGs, we sit, and then EXCO is a level, which is myself and other DTGs, and also now all the Chief Directors in one meeting, and we deal with this issue. So that's what is giving that improvement in the department. Then from here, actually, you've got this, the information that is the same. Chair, what we're saying is, I'm saying that when I only go to the one, so in administration at 19 targets, we achieved 17, so it's 2, which was not achieved. And then on civic affairs, there were 5 targets, 4 have been achieved, it's only 1 not achieved. Immigration, 8, 6, and 2 not achieved. So I'll be dealing now with the 5 which we could not achieve, and what were the reasons. So, Chair, I'll keep what we have achieved. I'm sorry, I don't want to waste time on what we have achieved. This is the first one, Chair, on page 17. What we wanted to do here, Chair, was the EMCS full biometric scope developed and piloted at one point of entry. Currently, we do take fingerprints at the ports of entry, but not all of them. But what we're looking for was at the one we have now. You just capture that fingerprint and then it sits on a database, but it's not helpful on what you want to get. The one I want to develop is when once we take that fingerprint, that system must be linked to HANIS, which is including your NPR, must be linked to the NWIS, which is the one of the refugees, so that when you come to a port, we put your fingerprint there. He must be able to tell us, well, no, man, but you are saying we are a tourist, but we are already having an our ID document out there that happened, or we did come as a refugee. Why now? We are already in our NPR. How did you get our ID? So that is the system now which we are busy now developing. So the challenge here really was that we wanted to work with those people with the skills from SARS, but there were two other things they were dealing with it. That's what made us not to be able to achieve that. So that is the first target which we could not achieve. The second one, Chair, was the just tabling of the annual report, Chair. When we were dealing with that year, the previous year, it had difficult issues, because remember, you submit the annual report of the previous year. So now last year we did table it, I think the committee will still remember, we tabled it late than end of September. So that's what we were saying now, that's what we did not achieve as number 2. Then the other one, Chair, is the registration of birth within 30 days. Chair, this is one of the cracks of the matter in the department, but we still have challenges, but I will deal with what are we doing to try and deal with this issue of registration of birth within 30 days. However, you can see now that there is a continuous improvement in terms of the numbers. When we started in 2010-11, we were able to register only 500,000 births. If you look here at 2010-11 in the graph, we're only registering 500,000 as against births in total, which is 1.2. A million births. So when I was comparing now that percentage, at that stage were only managing to register 39% of the beds within 30 days. But if you come now, we've registered 745,000 as against 1 million beds. Even beds are reducing now, the total beds per annum. So now we're at about 75% of the beds which were able to register within the 30 days. But we want to register 100%, but we're still registering a push which we're still dealing with it. Then in the following slide, we are trying to show here that these numbers are coming from provinces, so that now we know which province is able to achieve this. And if you look at the Eastern Cape, the first row gives you that the total annual target for Eastern Cape was 90,000 beds, and then going down like that to give to 750. Then we break down those targets into quarters. So in quarter one, if I use Eastern Cape, was 22,000, which they have to register. Then in that quarter, they registered 22,140. They registered more than what was the target. Then the following quarter, they registered less. And then in third quarter was also less. But now in the fourth quarter was up. And then now they were out with 4,553. So what we're looking at it here, because one of our drivers to do this is the registration of birth in the hospital. But the issue now, which is going to be problematic now the following year, is that staff has to be there even on Saturdays and Sundays. But with the problem now which we have, where there was an issue that unions wanted that staff only works from Monday to Friday, then that is going to have an impact going forward. So this was able to do that because of what we have. But it's still an issue, but there is a study which I will show that we're also doing on this thing of the bed registration. I'm going to come to that back. But we're able now to know about where we're not able to achieve the targets. So we missed that target by 4,796 beds, because our target was 750, so about 99% what we're able to register within 30 days. Then, I'm not going to deal with the ones which we have achieved for smart card. So that is the path which I gave. Then the other one, Chair, which is also a big issue for us, is the BMA. So we struggled a lot with the BMA last year at a parliamentary level, because we managed to finalize it at NEDLAC, and then when it was sitting at NA, we were having delays here and there, and then it was, we're even at that time, when we were closing the year, we were still, it was around about May when we thought that it would have been passed in the NA, but it took time even there. Now is with the NCOP, so we are still, but as I said, that the targets are for 5 years, to say now we are really worried now that we must not completely miss the whole, because in the 5 years, the BMA should have been established and running. So if we miss now, we're left now basically with the 1 year now, which is the 18-19. So it's something which is an issue for us. Then the other target which was not achieved was the issue of the 15 ports of entry. As Chair, we were visiting these ports of entry, but what we're looking at here, which have achieved, this was just small things which were doing, but there were 2-3, because now the land on some of those things are belonging, because these ones were more on the on the maritime. So now to get those sites, we need to sign, no, sorry, Public Works must sign a lease agreement with Transnet. And then it's the, because you can't renovate something which you don't have a lease for. So that's why again, we still have challenges. But we've got our project, which I can just mention, the one of the six big land ports, which we are about to renovate them, which is Obeid Bridge, Lebombo, Kopfontein, Flixberg, Maseru Bridge, which one? Oshook. So all those now, which are the big land ports, will be now renovated to the state of the art through a PPP process. So we're still following that process, because those ports, there's nothing more you can do to them, because they have very bad infrastructure. And so that will involve buying more land around those ports. It will involve segmenting maybe the ports in terms of having an area where it's only buses, and maybe another area small cars, another area cargo. So that's what we are looking at. This is a big project. Maybe in the, when we come with the annual report, I'm sorry, with the APP for 2018-19, so we'll give that in detail. So those were the five now which we did not achieve and not given the target. Then this one was just to share with the committee that in addition to what is happening in the provinces, is this matters of contravening the Immigration Act. But what is important is when we say as Home Affairs, we've got only 750 inspectorate officials throughout the country. That's why there is a complaint in the members of the public and say our management of undocumented foreign nationals is a cause for concern. But we are saying as Home Affairs, we understand that. But if we don't have a capacity, those are the numbers now we're going to have. For instance, if you look here, is the employers whom we've managed to visit and found out that they are doing, they are employing foreign nationals who are not documented. But if you take the whole country, if we can say now for the whole year, we only detected 1,004 employers. 1,000. I mean, with the influx and the issues we sit with, we should not be at the 1,000, should have been more, but we don't have a capacity to do that. So in the Eastern Cape, the whole province, we're able now to go to 58 employers. So where are the rest? And they know that if our capacity is to go only to 58, then the rest, they feel comfortable. So it's one of the responsibilities which we have, but because of the capacity we have, that's what it was. Then now, here is the number again of the people whom were able to get them, either with those employers or we found them on the street. So the total of the people who were arrested and charged is only 24,065, whereas we are saying, that's why there's always this question, how, what is the total number of people who are in our country undocumented or illegal? And then we say, by definition, you can't know, because where they get recorded. But 24,000, we know that that number is very, very low. I mean, it's nothing, it's a drop in the ocean. But is the capacity which we talk about? The law is there, is provided, and all that we have been able to do that. Then you know, each province is also allowed that those which were sharing the border with, they can be able to do the direct deportation. But even you can compare the number of transgressors is 24,000, but what we even deport is 11,000. So it means even those who have arrested, you end up not able to deport even all of them because of those issues at Lidela and what the law now wants and all that. So you can see why that complaint at the end of the day is genuine and is factual. And to say management of illegal immigrants is still a challenge. So that's what this president was doing. And then you know, from Lindela, then the other people you know, were deported now from Lindela you know, to other countries. And Chair is not a cheap exercise as well, because a person is from Nigeria, is from wherever, but those people are deported at the cost of the state. That's why this issue of a PMA to us, we are saying, it will really resolve, in our view, whether 80% of the problems are settled. Because if your borders are porous, then you are in trouble. Once people know in order to go there, you just cross, you just come in as a tourist. When that expired, you just stay in the country, nobody can detect you. And the capability of detecting people on the street is very low. Then people just come and stay. That's what this slide has shown. This is still a challenge for us. The issue of fraudulent marriages. And people are getting into these things for money. They're getting to eat. They know that the system, our laws, says if now a South African gets married with a foreign national, then after that, the other spouse will get what we call the relative's permit, because now it's with the relative now, who is the spouse. And then now from there, you go just for this period of 5 years, and then after that, you start now going to that process of getting a citizenship. Once that happens, then now you divorce that spouse. Once you divorce that spouse, then now you bring yours, because now the one who's coming now is a relative to you, because now you're already South African citizen. And then now once that happens, your kids must follow you. Once that happens now, the mother is your dependent. The father is your dependent. Then the father and the mother has got your siblings, who are the dependents now of the mother and the father. So this list just go on and big and big and big. And then they know, you know, to say, I don't want to marry to this person in the true sense, but what I want is to facilitate this process. That's why at times when you go around and you go in these shops, we see our people there as a spouse to someone here, and then you know, Mama, this person is just a worker here. But it's this thing is just to do that and then get that. And then in our townships, people now, they start by having in this house, they will build something there which is a spaza shop in the back of the house. Then after that, they get pushed out, because this owner, where must he stay? He can't stay in that shop forever. He will stay initially there and knows now, but hey, this one now is used to this 5,000 rand per month. And then why don't I go to you? And I says, no, I can buy this house for 200,000. And people think that 200,000 is a lot of money. That is just money now. It evaporates within a month, doesn't have anything. And then people, they lose houses like anything. So these are the challenges. So if now Home Affairs, as we are arguing, is not funded properly, then the implication of things are too huge for the country. Then, Chair, I've already explained these five issues, what were our reasons for not achieving and all that. Then, Chair, this is just important for us just to say what are other things which are sitting in Home Affairs. We know about this matter now of, we call it a ceiling, that once your salary is like this, you cannot exceed it from Treasury. They just come and say, this is your ceiling. Once you get that, you cannot appoint people more than that. So this is really a cause for concern for us, because now as Home Affairs, with the current post, which we feel, now we can feel, we are still sitting at 9,000, we'll be seated at 9,800 people. But if you compare Home Affairs with other departments whom their clientele is just a subset of Home Affairs. Let's take Corrections as an example. Corrections, their staff members are around 22,000. They've got about 22,000 staff members, and the prison population is around 140, something like that. So that's that. They are dealing with the 140,000 people, but with about 22,000 staff members. You take SARS. SARS is dealing only with the people who are employed. We know what is the percentage of unemployment in our country. They deal only with that bracket, but their staff members is around 15,000. Then now take Home Affairs and I will compare. If I let me begin with police. Police is at about 194,000 staff members dealing with that segment of the population which are criminals. Then Home Affairs deals with the whole 56 million people. Because if that child needs to be registered, must go and be registered at Home Affairs. If that person dies, anyone has to go to Home Affairs. And then you add the foreign nationals which are in our country. We are not saying we should be at those levels, but it just cannot work. It's just not comparable. So is the issue which we said that the resources are an issue for us. And now, Chair, we're now dealing with treasure, that all the money which we had, when I came back, I found that treasure took 100 million rand from our budget during this adjustment estimate. How is that possible? If now we've got a department which is bleeding like ours, and then something like that happens, and then that is a big problem for us. But in that regard, we did write a letter to Treasury and to SCOPA and as well as the SCOA committee and our portfolio committee. Then, Chair, we still got this issue of the working hours, which we really feel that is something which with the new minister will be starting to go back and work on it, where our offices are no longer operational on Saturdays. The impact of that is that people are working in the farms, people are working as a domestic workers, and even other people who are just cannot be able to take leaves and all that to go and get services in Home Affairs, which were able to get them on Saturdays. Actually, as a department, we're really looking at what is wrong for Home Affairs to open 7 days a week. But we have a shift system. Like when we make these examples, we're saying even to our own workers and say, if I'm from Eastern Cape, I move from Gauteng to Eastern Cape, I can't put a petrol in Pretoria and think that petrol will take me to Eastern Cape. I'll sleep in the road. But because there are people who are working, then I'm able to do that. So why Home Affairs can't do that? But those people are not exploited. There are shift systems and all that. So those are the things which we really have to look at it and say, Home Affairs, you can't get services of Home Affairs anywhere except in Home Affairs. Mm-hmm. So if we have to do that, then we need to change the way we do things, not in the old traditional way. So those are the challenges which we have, which are saying something which we still need to deal with it. I will just give Sifu now 2 minutes because now just to say how the budget has gone, just 2 or 3 slides.
If I can ask you just to operate the machine, then I don't need to move seats, so I'm not
delegating.
I apologize. DJ has already spoken about the audit outcome. It's an unqualified audit opinion with findings. We're not happy with that opinion. We still want to get the clean audit outcome, and that's what we're working for in the current financial year. Could you start next slide, please? on the outcome of the expenditure outcome, DG has already spoken to you about the budget pressures, and we have consistently shown, Chair, over the years that we are able to spend our budget. This slide shows that of the full 8 billion rands we received, we just didn't spend 12.281 million, and that 12 million rand, Chair, was rolled over. So if we take out the 12 million, we would have underspent with 281,000 rands. The 12 million was for video conferencing and voice over IP. We're introducing those things in order to save costs on traveling. So, Chair, from an expenditure point of view, I think we have shown over the last 3-4 years that we're spending all our money. On the next slide, it's just on compensation. We're also spending all our full allocation. DG has mentioned the ceilings. That is our ceiling, 369. So, Chair, I'm just going to go very quickly then, DG. But the next one is for provinces, Chair. We allocate budget to the provinces at the beginning of before the financial year starts, so provinces already now know what their budget for next year is. Right? Their planning has been done accordingly. In civic services, it looks like it's a huge budget, but some of that, the 1.7, is allocated to the provinces, and the rest of civic services, also 1.8 billion that goes to IEC. So if you look at the provinces are spending well. None of them have particular pressures. We're trying to make sure that the budget is allocated to where the expenditure needs to happen. On revenue, thanks DG, on the revenue, our target was to collect 962 million rands. We collected just over a billion. Of that, nearly 300 million rands, 298 million rands, came from DIRCO. So we are in a position to generate our own revenue and to collect our revenue, but that's what we do. The next one is the one on 30-day payments, Chair, and here DG has already indicated that this is a problem for us. 30-day payments, we have improved from where we were. This is now the year-on-year figures for the financial year under review, the 16-17 financial year. We paid 87.15% of our invoices within 30 days. Chair, this does not mean that we have not paid the other invoices, we just paid it late. Now we're trying to work on those processes, and the DG can take us to the next slide. This is an indication as to how we report on this report. So we say we have so many invoices, you have paid so many invoices within 30 days. We're now breaking this down to a further level to also get to the reasons, when was this invoice received, why was it delayed, by whom, and we're taking consequence management against those who deliberately delayed payments. But Chair, I must also point out that some of these payments are, we're not paying invoices simply because we want to make sure every invoice is paid within 50 days. Some of these invoices have valid reasons why we're not paying them. Some of it, I showed Exco yesterday in the meeting that the invoice amount, for instance, we had the dispute with one of our service providers. The invoice amount and the amount eventually paid is significantly different. In some instances, we have banking detail problems. We must make sure that the money goes into the right account. So from that perspective, on the 30-day payments, Chair, we're not happy with where we are. We're working on that and trying to address that issue as well. But as I say, Chair, we're trying to find a balance between making sure all invoices are paid within 30 days and that valid invoices are paid. Chair, the next one is just a matter of the issue of the unqualified, the issues which we need to address from an audit perspective in order to get to a clean audit. We had to restate some of our figures as a result of errors found in our previous financial statements, so those we corrected. So these are the issues we need to avoid going forward. The issue about the uncertainty relating to the future outcome of litigation, Chair, but contingent liabilities, we're sitting with contingent liabilities of close to 2 billion rands. It's difficult to predict who will sue us, but we know we will get sued. It's a quantum which is an issue, and the causes of those actions that is problematic and which we can't determine yet. Then on irregular expenditure, we reported irregular expenditure in the amount of 516 million rands. Chair, that includes 381 million rands of old irregular expenditure. So that's basically our opening balance. The irregular expenditure that was confirmed during the year is the biggest amount of it, 145 million of that 516 million, relates to the security tender which was awarded in 2013. Which was found to be irregular expenditure. Chair, in this regard, I would also like to give assurance to the committee that we did receive value for money. It's not as though we paid something and didn't get anything in return. We did have a security guard on site that did perform the functions, but the process followed in appointing those particular service providers were not the correct one. Chair, the next item which we need to deal with is the compliance with legislation. It relates to the previous issue about the misstatements. If you had misstatements, then your statements are not prepared in accordance with the modified cash standard. There were material misstatements which were corrected. And then the last bullet is just about 30 days payments, which we've already spoken about. Chair, we did just also mention some of the steps we have taken to make sure that we improve on the audit outcome. Our focus areas are 30-day payments, irregular expenditure, and then monitoring the audit action plan. There was also an issue about consequence management, and the consequence management goes beyond only the irregular expenditure. It's this issue about disclosures, officials doing business with the state, and then fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The officials doing business with the state, we had 19 officials, Chair, on that list. It was an issue for us of getting that information in time to deal with it, but the AG is assisting us in that process, and I can say from my side that our relationship with the AG has also improved, Chair. Thanks to DG for that. On the way forward, Chair,
for us now to go back and review that issue of 40 hours and the issue of disagreement, that's why we decided that in the DMA, one of the things which we are proposing is that we must go with our cap in hand to the providers where we give them the service. They must give us the space to conduct our work in their areas, because they can create people if we are not there. So it's something which we are doing there, and then the issue of filling those positions. And as I said, that we are really working with the Auditor General, as CFO has explained, to make sure that we improve our audit outcomes. So that's what we wanted to say.
Thank you very much.
Did
you honourable members, time for you to interact with the presentation. Can I recognize hands to ask questions? Clarity. Let me start from that side. Honourable Christ. Honourable Hutton. Honourable Kawula. Honourable Mshodi. Honourable Pambos Bogwana. Honourable Mampuru. In that order. You want to share meeting from that side?
No, I thought he was saying something behind my back. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Just a brief question. Looking at the investigations, the five of them which actually came before, we take the software license into the first investigation. It appears that these investigations is ongoing, and never ending. Are there progress? The one investigation comes from an incident that happened in 2011. It's more than 6 years ago. The investigation is more than 4 years old. It was investigated by the public protector, now the SIU. Still, we haven't got the public protector's report. We haven't got the SIU report. And I don't think it is conducive to governance if we have things dragging on like this. What is the current situation as of today in all of these investigations? Thank you. And is there a timeline where we can say now we can draw the line? Obviously, the other investigations, such as the into the irregular expenditure, where there was now also again a significant amount. It forms part of the same pattern. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks to the Department, the Deputy Minister and the DG, and the DHA team. I've got one question and three comments. My first comment is in respect of the working hours. I'm glad the DG has mentioned that one, because it is cause for concern. That one pertaining to the working hours. And the second one is also the one that we experienced when we were in Durban, the issue of the lease between Transnet and the department, that people arrive at the harbour and they have to be transported to somewhere else for them to be documented. And if something happens in between, then it becomes a problem. I'm also glad that the department is attending to that anomaly. I said three comments. Let me go to the question before the last comment. I did raise this issue. You were present when we were dealing with your budget in the select committee, when the minister was there. But the department is pinning too much hopes on the establishment of the BMA as a savior for all your problems, or for most of your problems. I still want to be convinced as to how this is going to happen. I raised issues there, of course. You know, when you debate in the House, sometimes things are taken politically, and you know, you don't get the right answers, the right responses. Because with the same budget, same people, and same everything, changing the name to PMA, how is this going to sort out all these other issues? Not unless maybe the PMA is going to come with an added advantage of more resources from elsewhere. I just want to find out, how is the PMA going to sort out all these other problems that we have if there are no added resources and with the same people coming from all different walks of life? I've tried to shorten it. The last one, Chair, is it's a pity the drama minister is not here. I would really have preferred the minister to have been here to so that we get to understand what was happening. But it's a pity, like I say, Chair, it's just going to be a comment. Maybe it's good riddance to the department. I'm saying maybe, because I don't know what happened. So it's difficult to really go to people into the issue because we don't know what happened. So we are back to square one. We are left from where we started because we just don't know. We are in the blank. But like you said, Chair, earlier on, it's important that as committees we also be given the understanding of the going on, so that things don't just happen unilaterally at the offices of the ministries, and things just happen there, and the rest of us don't know what is happening. It was just that concern, Chair, but you raised it earlier on. I'm glad the Deputy Minister came. He clarified issues to us the way she did, and I think she was very diplomatic, in a good way, in explaining things to us. we do have our own conclusions, but because the person concerned is no longer with us in this department, we cannot be able to get into the real issues. We just have to leave things as they are. But I do want to say, when this thing happened, I also commented, I was at home. I said to my family, this DG has been suspended, but he's one of the DGs that are really doing their best. And that's what I said. And they were asking, who is this Abli? And I said, no, you know the story, but I'm surprised that he has been suspended. I'm saying, coming from me, coming from me, not Kaula, coming from me on the other side, not in the pages of the ruling party. It says a lot, actually. It says a lot because it's a comment I made responding to people just at home to say, no, but this is a person who is doing his best. I'm surprised he's suspended. And I was very genuine. So really, the minister has a lot to explain some other time, some other life, somewhere else. That's why I say the drama minister. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation from the DG. Mine, Honorable Chairperson, DG is not a question, it's not a comment, it's just a request. As we know from the SBA, the NCOP will represent the provinces. I'm coming from the Free State. The area that I'm coming from is Edenville, DG. It's a rural area. In that area, we don't have even a doctor, nothing. There's a hospital called Tokolo. It's about 42 kilometers from my area. So your department is coming from Sasolburg, also it's about 60 kilometers. So we are having a challenge, DG, of this thing of birth registration. These people from Home Affairs, when they came to Tokolo, they mixed the birth certificate of the child. After they registered them, they mixed this birth certificate. And you can imagine from the people coming from my area, 42 kilometers, when she arrived home, they realized that this certificate is not the certificate of my child. And she's supposed to travel 100 kilometers to Sasolburg to say, this certificate is not mine, it's not my child's certificate. So if we can just talk to the DG to make sure that after everybody delivers in that hospital, they must make sure that they give the person the right certificate. Because even myself, every weekend when I arrive here home, Monday I'm supposed to travel from my area to assist my people to go to Sasolburg to change this certificate every Monday. That's why I'm saying mine is just a request. I don't have your question, Chairperson. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Chair. It is good to have you back. It was a shocking experience to see you on media, but it's good that your presence and your hard working in this department coming from the opposition is noted. What I liked about it, you were full on the other side to address the issues as they came. Firstly, Chairperson, I would like to know on the beds that happened in hospital, how many non-South African, it's been my question many times, how many non-South African are born here in South Africa from other countries? An exact number, I want the exact number per province. Whether you don't give it today, you give it per province. How many are gaining the South African citizenship? I want to know. It's good, Chairperson, that you accommodate the people who work Monday to Friday by giving your Saturdays. I had once been in this Home Affairs next to Parliament, and there was some winning, and I was with Simon, Mr. Simon.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I was with Mr. Simon on the day, and the people that work on a Saturday are winning that they're not getting value for money for working, for sacrificing. And there was reluctance. There's a way that there's a system that you have introduced that in order you don't pay them, you don't, according to what I heard, you don't pay them. You compensate them in terms of their off or something like that you're working with.
addressed the matter with him. I went to his office, but the reason I'm posing it, I'm seeing you. I don't want him to answer. I want you to answer that one. Are we winning the race? I want to know from you, DG, of, how do I phrase this? Are we winning the race of people that are not South Africans and non-South Africans becoming South Africans because of false marriages? I think what we need to do is an awareness campaign. One, go back to the basics. Awareness campaign together with DSD to make them aware that they are being cheated, because you feel as a department that there is cheating on the forced marriages and there's a recurring stigma on it. What are your strategies with DSD because you have to register these children and these marriages? What are your strategies that you have put in place to protect our South Africans? Because one of your mandates is to protect the South Africans and to make them feel safe and secure in their country. What are you doing with the Department of Social Development in these forced marriages? Because at the end, they are winning. I want to know, the report back, the last time you were here, DG, we posed a question. I just want a written report. I don't want a spontaneous report now. I just want to know, what do you do with Lindela? We had reported at Lindela Repatriation Center that the clinic was small and there were 8 sufferers who are HIV positive, and somewhere, and we wanted your strategies on what you're going to do to make it right in the Lindela Repatriation Service Center. I'm speaking under correction that you have said you are going to rectify what we have, our findings there. But how far are you? I want a report back, whether it's in writing, I don't want it now. The repatriation center, and what are your, with health services, what are your collaborative methods that you have used in that regard to because it was highly, there were clustered, there were so many of them in Lindela Repatriation Center, and the clinic was so small. I want to know, what are you doing about that? Some have been covered by my colleagues. With the five non-achievable targets that you had, I had on each one of them, how did you, on your explanation, how did you Chairperson, through you, how did you, DG, not achieve them? For me, those reasons are not valid. I want more conducive reasons. May, whether in writing, maybe we're summing up because we're in a rush because of the time. The fruitless expenditure, that is a cause for concern, but I will speak about it later on. 5,160,000 irregular expenses. I'm speaking under correction, but it's a cause for concern. Let me stop there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Not only last thing I heard, thank you very much. Oh, sorry. Okay,
No, thank you, Chairperson. DG, upgrading of key ports of entry. I don't mind this. It's your responsibility. But let me tell you a story. I'll show you some pictures here. During the provincial meeting, I went to the borders, like I told prior to the meeting. I was very much disappointed because somewhere in the borders of Limpopo River, hey, many things are happening there, Jefferson. People from Zimbabwe just get into South Africa. Hey, give free access. I can call it free access. Nothing is happening there. What are we doing? They even pull cars. Eh? Our researcher found Zimbabweans pulling a compressor with their donkeys to Zimbabwe. The river is too shallow there. We found a boy there. He knows the river. Where it is deep, where it is shallow, where there are crocodiles, he knows. He's been paid to cross them, either from Zimbabwe to South Africa or from South Africa to Zimbabwe. He's been paid, this boy. He is a Zimbabwean. I have pictures of him. You go there, the gates, they are just open. Just open. You go as you wish. What are we going to do about this thing? Bella, there are many risks. Takulumulomu, this cow, what is this? The animals can cross from Zimbabwe, come to South Africa, we are affected. South African animals can cross over to that side. It's a very serious issue for concern. Which impacts on what we're doing? Under Mpambo, one of the statistics, how many foreign nationals give birth in South Africa? We don't know. And you'll never know, DG, and we'll never blame you for this. Because you're complaining about the constraints of human resources. You don't have personnel to do what you are supposed to do. Recently they took a 200 million away. Then how are we going to achieve this target? We can blame you as the head of administration, but the challenges are full in your hands. I don't know what to say. You go to Nansfield Clinic, which is in Musina. Don't tell me. You see this ARV treatment? The people who are benefiting from these things are Zimbabweans. What about our people? What are we doing? There's integration of departments. But who is responsible at the end of the day? Because until now we are blaming you here. But what is the Department of Health doing? They'll tell you, no, there are people with these relationships, then they come. They'll tell you these stories. But on whose budget, on whose expense are those people benefiting? It's a crisis. Then you don't have offices. You go to practice here, you'll cry. Where I come from, towards? My daughter. Now I don't know what it is. I once spoke to the deputy minister. There's a person who has got a building there, a very nice building. Now they tell me about these cables, Mampuru. There are these cables that we need to connect before we can do what and what. But in the meantime, what do we do? Can't we leave those offices? Can't we do that? We've got a lot at hand, DJ, but let's just assist one another to see to it that maybe we arrive a summit. On the issue of working hours, I want to agree with you because I noted today when you presented to say, well, what about shifts? Can't we consider having some shifts to say others might work from Monday to Wednesday, others Thursday, Friday, Saturday, just like that, because I know you don't have money. You don't have money to employ these people. Where are you going to get the money to pay these people? But with shifts, maybe it will be better. Some of the challenges that you are facing in the department might be addressed. There is this foreign national, it comes from Pakistan, somewhere there. He comes to me, hi, comrade. Then what's your problem? No. Mina, I've got a wife. He is South African. He is black. I've married this wife. We have got kids. Now, Mamburu, I want citizenship. I said, good to hear this from you. Call your wife. On Monday, I'll meet here at this shop of yours. There are questions that I want to ask your wife. Ask me, DG. He has never asked me again about the citizenship since I said I want your wife to come in account. Because I want to understand. How was the marriage arranged? What happened? When did you marry? Where is that certificate? Who are the parents of this wife? Because I'll go as far as to the families of this wife. Since that day, he never asked me. He sees me every day because that's where I put in petrol. He sees me every day. He doesn't ask me anymore to say Mampuru. Because we must engage these people. he calls me Comrade Mampuru because most of the time he sees me in my ANC regarding. But Comrade Mampuru, he's not going to ask me this question because it is difficult for me. He has met a different person. I don't know any show me now. I want right things to happen because me now I'm jealous of the people of South Africa because we are suffering not because we are suffering. We are suffering because other people are taking what we have. Thanks, Chair.
Umbuzo wamsondele kule question ka Honorable Ambos Bokwane kule nto in a way fruitless and wasteful expenditure. It cut across all the departments, no especially kule nto onarishwa kuyokunga onarishwa kwe bookings. Sije senze ntoni DG ngaba bantu xa bebhukishelwe kwihotel bangayi ukuyolala kwenziwani ngabo kutheni ngabe kutsalwe kwimivuzo yabo babuyise la mali njengabantu ababangakhange bayolala zeziphi izitepsi enizithathayo DG ekuhlangabezeni nale challenge umzekelo it was raised in kwikomiti ebesihleli last week I can't remember but le nto yokungaonarishwa kwezibhukini senza ntoni
Well, thank you very much, honourable members, for your questions and comments on the presentation. I will start off by congratulating you again, DG, for the unqualified audit opinion. Of course, with matters as members are raising some specifics on the matters that were raised by the Auditor General. Which I think we raise them for the purpose of improving in your next reporting, because this one is done. We're raising them for you to correct them as we move forward. Let me also say to Mr. Simon, now I see you. very good service in your offices, but you do have some elements that are not good. If they don't know who you are, very bad. I had an experience there. One guy there, not good at all. Not good at all. I did not disclose myself until towards the end of my service. It's a guy. He may have the name in the office, but thank you for the service. It's a very busy office. Very, very busy. But you're doing your best as a person there. We appreciate the work that you're doing there. DG, they've raised a number of issues which I may not want to go back to them. I just want to start with the one on the false marriages. The implications are far beyond what we are raising now. We are creating a pool of children who will have wrong surnames because of these false marriages. These women in South Africa, they are paid. They're paid. Big time, they're paid by those people. It's not a free thing. It's not a free thing. They are making money out of it, but I have an experience where between the marriage, because a woman will not say that now, because I'm false married to this man, I don't have an affair. In between, they will have girl boyfriends and have children with them. But they will not register them with the boy's friend's surname or your surname because now they are married. They have to register them with the husband's surname, maybe a Pakistani or a Nigerian. You are waiting for some request to change surnames. From Home Affairs again, they will come to you. Those children, when they are older, know who their real fathers are to change the surnames again. We are creating a problem, a serious problem. It is a serious problem for those children in the future. It will come back to Home Affairs again. I thought I should say that it doesn't end there on them getting a citizenship, but it also affects the children in between. I know some of the cases like that. On the issue of the clinic at Lindela, we did raise this matter with you. Remember, you, when we asked you, you said the clinic belongs to Department of Health. We did raise it with Department of Health. I think Honorable Pambo, let's all remember this question when Department of Health is coming. They are coming last in our departments. They say they were going to see, check the clinic and see how best they can do it. But we were told in our first time, I know you are not asking it for the first time, but it was said, she is a Department of Health. We raised it, we unfortunately they are part of our committee. So we must follow up on them when it comes to that. The issue of the weekends or overtime, find a solution, DJ. How you do it, try your best to find a solution. It's two ways for me. If we say you don't have money, if you're going to have shifts, you need more personnel. By so doing, you need more money. I've never heard in my experience in administration where employees don't want to work overtime. They will do their best to get extra money. So my input on that one, do your best to get that service being done. How you find each other, I don't know. I'm saying either way, whether you work a shift system, you'll need more money. Whether you pay overtime, you need more money. So see how best you deal with that. But it has to be done because you see the implications now. We're also happy to see that we are working at least all the days because it's a very important department. Some of us were here during the week. We don't have time to go to Home Affairs. When I go home on Saturday, at least I have time to go to Home Affairs. So it has to continue how you resolve it. Try your best as the management and the ministers there. The issue of honourable members have covered a number of issues that you have raised, but in my recollection of the briefing of the DMA, most of the issues falls under the DMA. They will be addressed by DMA. Just to remind ourselves, the Department of Home Affairs is responsible for the ports of entry, my border posts, border gates in our language, not the border line. One of my police outside. Where there is porous, where they go through the river, is not Home Affairs.
Yeah.
I don't know, you'll remind me, DJ, that's my understanding. Border lines are not a responsibility of Home Affairs. It's another department, and that department is not part of us as social services. We have no way of asking them, public works. So when you have a PMA, a border management authority will be responsible for the border lines as well. It also goes to Honorable Kaula's question, how are they going to? So yes, I have also my own questions, many of them. But some of the issues will be addressed by border management agency because Home Affairs as the department which will be hosting the BMA will be responsible for all the things that are not done by them. DG, on the BMA, we will want to commit ourselves as a committee that you will have it before the end of this financial year, which is end of March, according to our plans. But we just don't want to make mistakes. We don't want to rush on something that we don't know. We've checked with the portfolio committee if they've done studies on this to check how is it being run in other countries. We're not just a country in isolation, but part of the global picture. We want to know how is it and what are the advantages, what are the challenges. So we want to do our work and see if we're taking the right decision finally when we conclude the bill. But the commitment that we can make to you is that you'll have it before the end of the financial day. In our plans, by end of February, we'll have been done, am I right, Mr.? Yeah, according to the dates that we have, we'll have done with the BMA. But it's a new thing in our country. We can't just say, okay, they've looked at it, we pass it. We don't want to be harassed, committee. want to apply our money, but you have it before the end of the financial year. I'm not convinced this thing of payment in 30 days, you go to control it. It's within your power. One area that is within your power, which you have to do it. We welcome the commitment of getting a clean audit. It's a good one. Because that is the ultimate goal that you must plan for, to get a clean audit. But there are indications that you're going to get that. Yeah, it has to be resolved, this issue of revenue collected by IDECO. The minister tried to explain in detail last time when we were checking that how much is it affecting you, and it's obvious it will affect you because you're not responsible for the collection and making sure that documents don't get lost. The issue with the DG, the Auditor General, is that you must account, give proof, give documents, and those documents you don't have. You depend on DECO. So I'm glad that it is being resolved. We also welcome DG, the renovations, talking for me as me from Mpumalanga, Lebombo, as well as Oshuk. Yeah, no, things are not good there. We really appreciate those renovations and we can't wait for them to start. But there is a state land somewhere, Lebombo. Goma Depot, there's a big state land there for public works. On your left, where you wanted to build a multi, I don't know what water you wanted to build there. That land is a state land. Yeah, no. Then we are fine. So we really welcome those developments or improvements. Sometimes it boosts the memory of members as well, if we go to this border as well as Messina. And we go there, we make promises, then you act. It's really very good. It shows that there is a synergy between yourselves and us. When we talk, at least you take what we are saying seriously as members. But also during the provincial week in Mpumalanga, we visited farms. There are serious issues in terms of the IDs, but I will bring that to you, DG. People who have children, I don't know for why, because my understanding is that if it's either a wife or a husband has gotten an ID, the child becomes a South African. But those ones are not allowed to take certificates or children for certificates for their children because the wife did not have, I'm just making one example, because the wife did not have an ID, but the husband is South African. And you can see they are South Africans. There are many cases there, but we'll forward them to you, DG, and assist. But also members, sometimes I'm not trying to make more work for you, DG, that please understand when we send things to you. We don't have time to assist those people. They will bring issues in our constituent offices. We don't have time. Straight to come back here to Parliament. The next person you'll see from Home Affairs is you. So allow us to use your office if there are issues that want to submit. You can refer them to provinces for processing, if you could allow us as members to do that. Can I allow you to respond? Some of the issues members have indicated, especially the statistical ones, that you can send them in writing. You may not respond now. You don't have much time, DG, because members have commitment around 12:30. We've got to conclude.
No, thanks, Chair. No, the questions are going to go the way they were asked. Chair, let's deal with the issues of investigation. You remember that as a department, once you hand over to Public Protect and SIU, there is nothing else you can do. It's up to them. We write letters and say how far you are. That's all that we can do. Because where we have to do it as a department, it will be a duplication of efforts. Now if I go and appoint a forensic auditor, but again your challenge once you get a forensic auditor, it can't take that thing to the logical conclusion. Can public protector will be able to issue a decision what must be done, SIU go and get a proclamation from the bank, deal with it. Actually, that case is the one of the wire, if you remember that WMI online. That's what is with the public protector. Even this irregular expenditure, the 337 million of it is related to WIO at that time, and this thing, they go and buy these things through a finance lease instead of, because government doesn't do that. So that, there's no timeline, is dependent on them. The only one where we've got a timeline is the issue of the security tender. That one has got a timeline, people have received letters, they have been there, so that one will be able to deal with it. Like software licenses, the IBM thing is still waiting, because remember there's this principle that the person who raised the matter, you can't deal with it until that person is satisfied with it. Then the issue of working hours, I think I will respond that is to say, hey, something is going to work and look at it and really try to find a solution about it. Then now the question about the Transnet, and it links now to this thing of BMA. You know, besides anything else which will be an advantage to BMA, is the major one, Chair, is the integrated approach. That if there is a problem at a border environment, they're going to say border, we mean borderline, we mean ports of entry, as we're saying, even the issue of the space, which is still a question mark, on the maritime. Now, what is happening on the maritime, who must you ask? Where are the drugs are coming from, where into our country? They're coming through the maritime. Where these rhino horns, they get, how do they get transported out of the country? They don't take them through a port of entry and say, yeah, my rhino horns, but they go out. So that's where now we need to understand that that BMA, like any other, even if it doesn't have money, if for me just that we ask one person, if I go to a port of entry, something is wrong, I don't ask this one, why this thing is not happening? No, it's customs. No, it's police. No, it's home affairs. No, it's Transnet. It's everybody. That is the biggest advantage. But yeah, we are coming on the PMA when we present it. We'll be able to say what would be advantages. Let me make another example, just on the resources as well. Do you know that police, and they are visible, go to OR Tambo. Police, if you walk there, they are there. You know, in that airport, there are 800 police officers. But go to Home Affairs. Home Affairs, which now must also deal with the same shifts which the police are dealing with it. So now we're having 250. How do you compare the two? But if now these were together, that's why now you find police standing there, chatting, and because they don't have much work. But if now just combine that, the benefit you're going to get, because now all those resources are under one issue. But yeah, we'll come in detail with what will be the advantages of this. But for me, just if I can win the integrated approach, I don't ask. You know, that's why we normally said, even in all these departments, that I never worked on the departments which are split. Like health has got head office, but there's health in the provinces. But us, we've got one Home Affairs. What is an advantage? Something which is happening in an office in Eastern Cape and KZN, all that is directed from one point. It does give an advantage. But again, we will come back and deal with that issue. Yes, I've heard about this issue of Sasol Bank. We'll look at it. That's why one of the best things we want is this automation, but people still make mistakes. Those are what people now. That thing must be issued on the spot, so that now I get it on the spot, not this manual one, come back next week, because the damage has already happened. But if it is on the spot, I get it, I look at it, yes, I know this thing is wrong. So that's why we were talking about mobile solutions, and this thing can be able to issue on the spot. You know, this thing of birth registration and children is a is a difficult thing, in particular to us. When I say us, we've got the Africans with a way of dealing with this. Let me make a difficult an example, which people do it, they don't see anything wrong when that thing happens, but at the end it comes as a problem. I was called by a person who says, look man, I had a child before I got married with this woman. Then the woman gets married. The woman, now this one is a stepfather. But when they register that child, because what you do, you say, I don't want to have Tristan names here in my house. The kids you have and mine, they must call the same surname. That child now at that time is 3 years or 5 years. He can't go and say, hey, I'm not this surname. Then the stepfather registered the child on his surname. But that child does not belong to that. Then the child, they grow. Then the father knows that is my child, is fine. Then the mother passed on now. Once the mother now passed on, the child comes back to the father now and say, no, I want to, I'm your child. And the father goes to Home Affairs, no, change this child to my surname. Then the system says, this child, this person had a father, but you can't look them at the face and say, no, yes, this is your father. Then that's when I will come with the DNA test and say, the only thing which can prove to us that you are the father of this child, not the one, but there was nothing said stepfather. And these people were married. So then you end up now going to a level to say, okay, do a DNA test now. If the DNA test proves that now you are the father of this child, then it collaborates with your story. And then people start by saying, where do you expect to, I must get 3,000 rand to go and do that. So that is the problem. So that's why this thing was called, I think it was named right, to say we are a Home Affairs. Once you go there, this is in Daba Zabandu. But now in this age, how do you prove this? The issue of the non-children is something real. Both Home Affairs does issue what we call, they always differentiate this, a record of birth. So those births must be recorded, not registered. Registered means I will get a citizenship, but record means that the birth has occurred. So what we have, we'll be able to give. But again, those who are getting it from health, once they go there and they let them come off of the gate, that's why not that collaboration we needed. I remember the committee at one point said they will get a meeting between us and health. I remember. So that now some of the things we can put it, and then health can say this will be our responsibility and all that. In fact, in Namibia, births are registered by health officials. But they've got a system so that that nurse is not sitting filling papers now. At the time is registering the mother for the delivery of the baby, is in the same system. Once the baby now is born, it just put additional information. Immediately that information goes to Home Affairs and is kept somewhere. Then Home Affairs is able to say in this hospital there were 5 births which have occurred, but mother 1 concluded the registration, but mother 2 did not come back, but at least there's already an address and the telephone and all that. So Department of Health and Home Affairs needs to really deal with this. Foreign marriages is a that one is a really a moral issue. It's the issue that, because you know what people do on these things, I mean, including parents, because we're from poor communities. If we get this guy who's going to support the family at 20,000 rand per month, people end up getting into this thing. So it's not something which, whatever laws, we have the laws which says now, if we are found involved in the issue of marriage of convenience, I remember when we were doing that amendment, it's about 15 years which you can get as a sentence. It's there. But it's not about, it's a moral issue which we need to be helped and deal with it. So It's the same again now with this issue of now how we help to register this problem to say, how do we deal to protect as we are assessing that? We will remember two things. We remember at that time when we were hit about the issue of tourism. I know in South Africa, things, once they died down, then we forget about. You remember one of the things we're pushing there, we said we could not win that one. When we said, everyone wants to come to South Africa, we must take fingerprints and your photo in the country of origin. We lost that battle. We couldn't, we, nobody understood why we wanted that. Because at the time, you want to travel to South Africa, maybe at that point, there is no criminal thing you want to do, really are honest. Just take your picture, you take your fingerprint, you come to South Africa. Once you land here, whether you change your name, most people, they change their names, they change all their stories. What you cannot change is your fingerprint and your photo, which have taken it electronically. I will always know you are not a South African. Which now comes back again to this thing of children, as you said, Chen. A child is a South African citizen if one of the parents is a South African. But what is the challenge is that we say in these things where things are changing. For now, we are still saying fathers are not delivering babies. So once the mother is not there, there is a problem from the mother's side, the more the difficulties are. But if it's the mother who is alive, it's easy to do that. But once you say now, I am a father of this child, the mother is a foreign national, how are we going to know that? Because I can meet with this person, we agree, and say, man, today let's go to Home Affairs. You are my wife, this is my child. Perhaps that is not the case. But when the mother comes, there is already a 90% comfort in the, but this one is the mother of this child. But the father, how are we going to know that? It's, that's why I'm saying that when this difficulty now comes, it's exactly that. You go to an area, you can see, I understand what this person says, but how can we do this? In fact, when I chatted at one point, when we still had the minister, her view was, our appointments are even wrong. Because in the front office, we've got level 6 or 3, the lower level staff. Then at the back office, we've got the senior staff. But where are the clients are going to meet these people at the back? So if I had money, I should appoint senior staff in the front. Because at them, we must interact with this thing and be able to think it about, okay, if you do this and this, why can't I do a DNA test, man? Maybe it can resolve. The only thing they simply do, I can't do this thing. Then we always ask them, I say, when you say that, what are you hoping for? Because that person, he will gonna go and stay at home for 6 months, and then once it's cool again, he will come back. Because he must still go to Home Affairs, but he won't get that thing anywhere. So if we get, because of these difficulties are not easy. You know, there is a study which we're still doing now to check that if we take a fingerprint of a child, whether it's 3 years, will that fingerprint manucha remains as the same? Because the problem we have now in South Africa is to say an ID, you take it when you are 16. The damage which happened between that 1 day to 16 years is too much a gap. Because that's where this fraudulent thing comes, swapping the photos, ID numbers and all that. But if we can get that, so CSIR is doing that study for us. If we can get that, then it will help us to be able to do that. Then the other issue was this one of a clinic, as we said, that will come back, but the Lindela clinic is something which we, in fact, before I do that, let me add that the Human Rights Commission has got an office now at Lindela. So that now is no longer our own report alone. Okay. So they must be there and look at it and see what can be done. So it's something which we are looking at, and then now we are looking at that as a port of service. But once we found something, we also work with the hospitals around there, so that people like that must be taken to the hospital. But the Department of Health will come with that. Then the You know, now is out. Oh, he's back. I was going to say, all what she said is except what links with this. There's porous borders. You know, if you go to Big Bridge, just 5 meters, I don't want to say, 5 meters, not 5 kilometers. I mean 5 meters from the Big Bridge. That thing is porous, has got nothing. But the official of Home Affairs doesn't care about that thing, because that's not my responsibility. And then that one was saying, you know, defense and public works are both in the borderline. But defense, they say, no, not about building fence. It's public works, must build the fence, and then I will guard it. But if public works does not build the fence, yes, at the time that I'm there as defense, I will look at it. But if I move, I'm somewhere, then they cross. And then they've got these people here we are talking about, they know. They even know there was no defense, because remember they got that. We're saying our borderline is 4,700 square meters. So they know they won't be able to do that. So that's why we are saying, get the PMA, will help up to a particular level. And there is known ARVs or not, you know, Minister of Health will tell you that go to those hospitals next to the borderline. The medication goes. In fact, Baragwanath, yeah, in Joburg, people tell you that you go there, the mothers who are there to come in, because to them is expensive. I think in other countries they pay for delivery of the babies, whereas in South Africa, free. So why they can't just cross and get it? And then, Chair, I'm happy with the issue of the BMA. Exactly, we really, on our side, yes, we might be under pressure, but we don't want to do something which at the end of the day will fail day one. Mm-hmm. So that's why we are prepared to come and give the information so that as the members go, we can be able to say this is what we are, then can compare what we are saying and what the people have said. And we are still looking at the responses from the public. So they're going to look at them and then respond. So by the time the committee goes there, can say this is what we were saying, this is what the public is saying, this is our response, is this thing telling, as we said. So Chair, we will, so forced marriages, let me come to this issue of the customer care. The other thing which we are trying to work, in fact, this office, we've got a partnership with Old Mutual, so that Old Mutual can assist us, because remember Old Mutual, we've got front offices. So in partnership with them to help us in some of this training and how do you take people into those processes. Clean audit, revenue, payment within 30 days, all those things we think are the comments which will look at it. And then those ones, you know, which we need to respond in writing, we will do so. So I was trying to rush because of your time, offices which are not in the country, something which will look at this. No, fruitless, yes. On fruitless and expenditure, check it out. Check that, two things. We do charge people, they do pay it. But there's one which is very difficult. Is when a person says, I went to a meeting, when I was getting into the plane, it's cancelled. And then that person has to take the plane back. I've been affected by that. You come, when you land, once you open your cell phone, it says the meeting cancelled. Then that hotel has already been booked. And then that employee, there's nothing we can blame for that. So if it's those instances, the state takes the responsibility, but if it is where an employee by himself or herself did not come and appear in a meeting, then we're able now to charge that. Thanks, I hope I've tried.
Okay. No, thank you very much, DJ and the team. We're hoping that based on the inputs by the members, we will receive a better report by the end of the financial year. As I was saying, it's not about finding faults, but it's improving the performance of the department. All right, members, thank you very much. Do you have a minute? Yeah. I forgot to register the apology of Honorable Zwane. She has other commitments. I have just one. one set of minutes, another one of two. While the department is finding their way out, just one set, honourable members. I know you're rushing to have a meeting.
Thank you very much.